From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here's the news read by Ray. First, the headline. President Prabowo Subianto pays for recent cabinet retreat by himself. President Prabowo establishes 85 service units for free meals program. Now the news in details. The red and white cabinet led by President Prabowo Subianto completed their three-day retreat activities at the Indonesian Military Academy in Magelang, Central Java on Sunday. And President Prabowo was reported to have paid for himself. As reported by Antara News Agency, head of the official presidential communication Hasan Hasbi in Jakarta on Monday said that President Prabowo had prepared a cabinet retreat for a month being inaugurated, hence he couldn't use the state budget. Hasan also said that President Prabowo did not use the ministry budget to prepare for the retreat. Earlier, the Indonesian Minister for the Protection of the Indonesian Migrant Workers, Abdul Qadir Karding in Jakarta on Sunday, said that President Prabowo Subianto paid for the red and white cabinet retreat with his budget. President Prabowo has said that retreat was an effort to align the government step. Each cabinet member must move in harmony with the same goal. Moving on to the second news. President Prabowo Subianto has established 85 service unit offices for the free nutritious meal program, which is currently being trialed in the country. As reported by Antara on Sunday, it was confirmed by head of the National Nutrition Agency, Dadan Hindayana, the service unit of free nutritious meal program, which is tasked with providing 3,000 to 4,000 portion of meals to the beneficiaries in Magelang, functions to coordinate the meals distribution with relevant parties. He also said the government had units in many locations for the trial, which has been running for approximately 10 months, one of which is in Magelang. The free nutritious meal is one of the programs of President Prabowo Subianto and Vice President Gibran Rakabuming Raka for their five-year tenure from 2024 until 2029. The third news. Surakarta Senate, a Javanese monarchy in Surakarta, Central Java, hoisted a kilometer-long Indonesian flag on Monday to commemorate the Youth Pledge Day. As reported by Antara, chairperson of the Surakarta Sultanate Customs Council and inspector of the ceremony, Kus Murtia Wandanasari, said that the long flag stretched along with Balurwati area, where the royal palace sits. Speaking in Solo, Central Java, Wandanasari noted that the involvement school students as the flag bearers. She said their main mission is to encourage people from younger generation to always protect the Indonesian flag, because this flag is the symbol of the existence of Indonesia. The monarchy highlighted the need for the people to understand that Indonesian national flag draws inspiration from banners of similar colors used by the Surakarta Senate and Majapahit Kingdom. In Indonesia, Youth Pledge Day commemorates the pledge made by young Indonesians on October 28, 1928, which defined the identity of the Indonesians. The fourth news. Indonesian Navy held a health service in Solomon Island as the country's hospital ship KRI Dr. Wahidin Sudhiro Husodo, 991, docked in the country's capital, Honiara, on Sunday. The activities were done to strengthen Indonesia's defense diplomacy with South Pacific countries and undergo the peace mission. Commander of KRI Wahidin Sudhiro Husodo, 991 Navy Colonel Eddie Herdiana explained the activity included blood donation and health checks for locals. In addition, the Navy also held an open ship for the community in the Solomon Island, providing an opportunity to see the KRI Dr. Wahidin Sudhiro Husodo, 991 directly. Prime Minister of the Solomon Island, Jeremiah Manele, was one of the ship's visitors. After Solomon Island, the Indonesian Navy will visit Fiji, Vanuatu, and Papua New Guinea. The fifth news. The Philippines raised a fresh weather alert on Monday, days after more than 100 people were killed by worst storm of the year. As reported by AFP, the Filipino National Weather Agency says tropical storm Kongrey will bring heavy rain and severe wind to land in the coming hours. And the cause rough seas of the East Coast, Kongrey will strengthen into typhoon by Tuesday and pass close to small Philippine island in the north as early as Wednesday. Nearly a million people are still sheltering at evacuation center or with relatives after losing their homes or being driven out by flood waters brought by the severe tropical storm Prame, which struck on October 22nd. The government disaster agency put the death toll from Prame at 116, with 39 missing. The sixth news. North Korean news agency said on Monday that the investigation held proved by South Korea's military sent a drone over Pyongyang to drop propaganda leaflets, calling it an infringement of sovereignty. As reported by AFP, North Korea has accused South Korea of sending unmanned drones into its airspace three times, which South Korea's military has denied. KCNA said the North Korea Ministry of Defense has dismantled the control module from the remains of a crashed drone and analyzed the flight plan and log. A graphic published by the agency showed a flight route of the drone starting from South Korea's Bamyong Island and landing in Pyongyang after crossing the western sea of the Korean Peninsula. Bamyong is the westernmost border island of South Korea, closer to Pyongyang than Seoul. The ministry spokesperson then stressed that the last warning to the South Korean military has already been made. Meanwhile, Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, issued a separate statement claiming that North Korea would not send drones southwards. And the final news. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi announced a proposal for a two-day truce in the Israel and Hamas on Sunday. As reported by AFP, Sisi told a news conference in Cairo alongside visiting Algerian counterpart that he proposed a two-day ceasefire during which four hostages would be exchanged for some prisoners in Israeli jails, followed by more negotiation within 10 days aiming to secure a complete ceasefire and the entry of aid into the Gaza Strip. The government of Egypt has been involved in mediation efforts to end the Gaza war, and international mediators seeking to an end to the war have managed to secure a single one-week truce in November out of 251 hostages seized by Palestinian resistance militants during the attack on October last year. 97 are still held in Gaza, including 34 that Israeli military says are dead. And that was the news.
Untuk negara, bangsa yang Listener, today's commentary focuses on concerned for Israel-Iran open war if retaliations continue. Israel attacked Iran on early Saturday. Although Israel stated the attack was a retaliation against Iran's missile attack on Israel, many said the attack was just power play by Israel amid the Middle East tension. The Iranian government, through their foreign ministry, stated the attack again violated the sovereignty and integrity of their country, as well as the international law and UN charter. Therefore, Iran would use all resources and capacity in response to the assault, not only to defend Iran's security and interests, but also to keep regional and international peace and security from Israel action. Condemnation came from some countries against Israel's strike, including Indonesia, that firmly condemned it. Indonesia saw the escalation and expansion of the conflict as a real violation and ignorance by Israel against international law. Israel's attack possesses great potential of the worsening war intensity in the Middle East. Many worried the response given by Iran would come in similar attacks or on a greater scale. If this retaliation doesn't stop, the possibility of an open war between countries is quite great. This must involve other nations too. Despite having little influence, the United Nations, as the world's important organization, must give a quick response that is especially focus on the conflict escalation, both from the General Assembly and the Security Council. The nations of proximity with the two belligerents were expected to take part in reducing the tension in the Middle East. Just like the US, which is expected to stop Israel from continuing their offensive with Iran. Truly, all nations, including Indonesia, share an obligation to ensure peace and stability in the whole world. Undeniably, the retaliations between Israel and Iran are an extension of Israel-Hamas conflict escalation in Palestine. Therefore, peace in Palestine must be encouraged so that the Middle East conflict will not creep further. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
We begin today in history with the event on 28th October 1928, about the birth of the Youth Pledge. On 28th October 1928 in Jakarta, the Second Youth Congress produced the Youth Pledge, a historic pledge that united Indonesian youth from various backgrounds. This pledge stated the blood nation and language of unity is Indonesia. The Congress was initiated by the Indonesian Students Association and aimed to strengthen the sense of unity and nationality that had grown in the hearts of the youth. The Congress took place in three places, namely Katolieke Jongelingen Bond Building, Us Java Bioskop, and the Indonesian Club Gebo. The Congress decision was read out by Sugondo Joyo Puspito, which later became known as the Youth Pledge. We turn to the next event on 28th October 2008 about the death of Indonesian actor and director Kusno Sujarwadi. On 28th October 2008, an actor and director Kusno Sujarwadi passed away at his residence in Depok, West Java. He died at the age of 77 due to complications from diabetes. Kusno Sujarwadi is an Indonesian actor and director who won the Best Actor Award at FFI through the films Rio Anaku and Perkawinan. In addition to his career as an actor, Kusno also produced and directed the film Cowok Masa Kini. One of the best known roles was in the film Tangan Tangan Jang Kotor. We end today in history with 28th October 2009 when NASA launched the Ares 110 rocket. On 28th October 2009, NASA successfully launched the Ares-110 rocket, the first test of the Ares-1 program, which is part of the Constellation program. The rocket was developed as a launch system for human spaceflight and was launched from the Kennedy Space Center, Florida. Ares-110 is 99 meters tall and is equipped with 700 sensors to test stability and performance during launch. The test was aimed at ensuring the stability of Ares-1, which is designed to carry out Orion capsule on the future space mission. The Ares-110 rocket successfully reached an altitude of 40.2 kilometers about 2 minutes after launch. The test is an important part of NASA's preparation for the next generation space transportation system, which is scheduled to replace the space shuttle in 2015. And that's today in history.
Sampai juga di saat yang mendebarkan, mengucapkan akad suci ini. Aku dan kamu memastikan cinta yang tak akan lagi terpisahkan. Demi Tuhan aku berjanji padamu, akan selalu setia dan menjaga setiap langkahku. Demi ayah ibumu yang telah menitipkan kamu, aku kan menjadi pasangan hidupmu satu dan selamanya. Tak ingin lepas dari genggamnya sejak melangkah ke pelaminan. Aku dan kamu
cinta selain kamu.
cintaku.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia highlights Indonesia condemns Israeli attack on Iran. Indonesia strongly condemns Israel's military aggression against Iran, labeling the action a violation of international law. In an official statement released via the @kemlu_ri account on X last Saturday, October the 26th, the Indonesian Foreign Ministry asserted that the escalation and broadening of the conflict in the Middle East constitute a flagrant breach of international law. It also underscores Israel's complete disregard for such legal frameworks. Indonesia further called on all parties to exercise maximum restraint and avoid action that could exacerbate tensions and lead to further instability in the region. It reaffirmed that Israel's illegal occupation of Palestinian territories remains the root cause of conflicts in the Middle East, and the only path to lasting peace in the region is through the realization of an independent Palestinian state within the framework of the two-state solution. Indonesia also urged the United Nations Security Council to fulfill its responsibilities under the UN Charter by promptly halting all forms of violence perpetrated by Israel, including acts of genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza and assaults on UNIFIL forces in Lebanon. As such, Indonesia emphasized the importance of the UN Security Council considering further measures to end this illegal occupation. Iran expressed its appreciation for Indonesia's firm stance against Israel's attack. In a statement issued on Sunday, October the 27th, the Embassy of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Indonesia conveyed its gratitude to the Indonesian government for taking a strong and unequivocal position in condemning Israel's aggression against Iranian territory. Iran further called upon all peace and freedom-loving nations to unite in halting Israel's crime and acts of aggression. Iran also reminded all UN member states, the state parties to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, and the state parties to the Fourth Geneva Convention of 1949 to take immediate and collective action against the serious crimes committed by Israel. The statement also reiterated the responsibility of Tel Aviv supporters and financial military backers, particularly the United States, in perpetuating the occupation, committing various crimes, especially genocide against the Palestinian people, and carrying out aggression against Lebanon, as well as Israel's illegal actions that jeopardize both regional and international peace and security. That was My Indonesia Today.
Jalan sambil bergandeng tangan, lalu berdansa sambil pelukan rasa. Bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis,
sambil bermain mata turun ke hati, hatinya jatuh.
Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis,
sambil gandengan tangan, hati pelukan di angan syahdu.
Awan ikut menari-nari
romantis,
sambil merayu lupakan ada waktu. Oh, angin berbunyi nada seperti lagu cinta, ku tulis tentangmu. Kita bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis, Kita bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis. Bergandeng tangan, bermain angan yang syahdu. Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis.
Sambil gandengan tangan, hati pelukan.
Kita bikin romantis,
bergandeng tangan, lalu berdansa sambil berukan rasa.
Makin romantis,
ikut berari-nari, sambil merayu,
sambil merayu
bakar ada waktu.
Kita bikin romantis.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. 28 October is commemorated by all Indonesians as the Youth Pledge Day. The Youth Pledge is a pledge by Indonesian youths who claim to swear one blood, the land of Indonesia, claim one nation, the Indonesian nation, and uphold a united language, the Indonesian language. The pledge was the result of the Second Youth Congress held on 27th to 28th October 1928. The Congress was initiated by the Indonesian Students Association and attended by youth organizations such as Young Java, Young Sumatran Bond, Young Bataks Bond, Pemuda Indonesia, Young Islamitan Bond, Young Celebes, Sekar Rukun, Young Ambon, and Pemuda Kaum Betawi. The Second Youth Congress was held in a building located on Jalan Keramat Raya number 106, Central Jakarta. The building is now a museum called Youth Pledge Museum. The Keramat Raya 106 building is used as a museum because it has a series of historical journeys and witnesses the long process of forming the spirit of struggle for Indonesian independence. In this place where the Second Youth Congress was held, the basic joints of Indonesian unity were discussed, formulated, and then pledged. The Youth Pledge Museum has a main building consisting of a front foyer, one guest room, five rooms, and one open space or meeting room. It has a collection of photographs and objects related to the history of the 1928 Youth Pledge, as well as activities in the Indonesian National Youth Movement. In 2007, the museum's collection totaled 2,867 items. Among these collections, there are some interesting collections such as the digital comic of the Youth Pledge and W.R. Violin. Supratman's violin, or W.R. Supratman, was the composer of the Indonesia Raya song. With the violin, he sang the Indonesia Raya song for the first time and the Second Youth Congress. The collections owned by the Youth Pledge Museum are exhibited in a fixed exhibition room with an arrangement that follows the chronology of the Youth Pledge events in order to illustrate the strengths of the Youth Pledge events. The collection includes a map of Indonesia with the locations of regional youth organizations, a map of Jakarta showing the places where the Second Youth Congress was held and its current condition, the Second Youth Congress committee, organizations participating in the Youth Congress, and a mock-up of the Youth Pledge building. Parallel to the introduction room, there is a youth organization growth room, and this room depicts the early growth of youth organizations, beginning with the Indonesian Association in the Netherlands. In this room, you can also find reality in the form of guiding equipment used in the 1920s. Upstairs, there is a first youth congress room. The room displays collections related to the first Indonesian Youth Congress. Next, there is the second Youth Congress room. The room exhibits collections that describe the events of the second Indonesian Youth Congress. Then there is the Young Indonesia room, the Indonesian Students Association room, and the thematic room. The Young Indonesia Room presents a collection about the youth movement after the Youth Pledge. The Association Room presents some of the collections related to the Association of Indonesian Students following the Second Indonesian Youth Congress. The Thematic Room consists of two rooms located in the pavilion of Building Kramat 106. The room presents several collections related to youth activities in 1945, 1966, and 1998. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
tenang terus jadi satu. Biar di telapak kakimu halus dan kuat melaju. Biar di peluk ibumu kekal wangi tanpa rindu. Biar di bawah kasurmu mimpimu siap terbangun. Biar di dalam hatimu harum selalu namaku. Biar saat air surut bahagiamu
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bima. Di Bima, which means in Bima. You will listen to a conversation about di dalam kamar, di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. The monologue is by Chris, a vlogger from Australia, who is recording a vlog about his hotel room around Sub Airport, Sumbawa Island, West Nusa Tenggara. Let's listen to his monologue.
Setelah menempuh perjalanan dari Kabupaten Bima, malam ini saya menginap di sebuah hotel di dekat Pelabuhan Sape. Kapal saya berangkat besok pagi. Ini kamar saya. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC.
After listening to the monologue, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, di dalam kamar, di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Di dalam, which means inside. Kamar, kamar, which means room. Meja, meja, which means table. Lemari, lemari, which means wardrobe. Televisi, televisi, which means television. AC, AC, which means air conditioner. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Which means, inside the room, there are table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. Menempuh, menempuh, which means
go through. Perjalanan. Perjalanan. Which means trip. Kabupaten Bima. Kabupaten Bima. Which means Bima Regency. Menginap. Menginap. Which means stay. Pelabuhan Sape. Pelabuhan Sape. Which means Sape Port. Kapal. Kapal. Which means ship. In the monologue, there is the expression di dalam kamar ada meja, televisi, dan AC. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC. Which means inside the room there are table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. There is the adverb di dalam, which means inside. Which shows a particular location or place, namely a space that contains something. The expression di dalam, which means inside, in the monologue, shows an hotel room that contains a table, wardrobe, television, and air conditioner. Other example. Let's listen to another use of di dalam, which means inside, in another sentence. Di dalam kapal ada restoran. Di dalam kapal ada restoran. Which means, inside the ship, there is a restaurant. Chris menyimpan kameranya di dalam tas khusus. Chris menyimpan kameranya di dalam tas khusus. Which means, Chris put his camera inside a special bag. In Indonesian, there are some variations of places to stay. Besides hotel, hotel, which means hotel, there are also wisma, wisma, which means guest house. Losmen, losmen, which means inn. Penginapan, penginapan, which means lodge. Pondok, pondok, which means cottage. And resort, resort, which means resort. The difference falls on the facility and shape. Wisma, wisma, which means guest house, usually has less facility than hotel, hotel, which means hotel. While pondok, pondok, which means cottage. And resort, resort, which means resort, have different shape or form from hotel. Pondok, pondok, which means cottage, and resort, resort, which means resort, usually has some separated buildings or rooms instead of one single big building like a hotel. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Setelah menempuh perjalanan dari Kabupaten Bima, malam ini saya menginap di sebuah hotel di dekat Pelabuhan Sape. Kapal saya berangkat besok pagi. Ini kamar saya. Di dalam kamar ada meja, lemari, televisi, dan AC.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about di dalam kamar. Di dalam kamar, which means inside the room. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who wanna know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
jika tak ada.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, on this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Bangun Pemudi Pemuda or Stand Up Youth by Keroncong Project Strada Pasar Minggu. The song Bangun Pemudi Pemuda is one of Indonesia's national songs that is often sung during national holidays, such as Youth Pledge Day, which is commemorated every year on October 28. The song was created by Alfred Simanjuntak, who was born on September 8, 1920 in Parlombuan, North Tapanuli, North Sumatra, Indonesia. When writing the song Bangun Pemudi Pemuda, Alfred Simanjuntak was 23 years old. At that time, he worked as a teacher at Sekolah Rakyat Sempurna Indonesia School in Semarang, Central Java. For his 60 years of service in education, Alfred Simanjuntak was awarded the Doctor Honoris Causa degree from St. John University. Well, listener, let's enjoy the keroncong version of Bangun Pemudi Pemuda by Keroncong Project Strada Pasar Minggu. Happy listening! VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.